No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we see where the Lord gives Amos three visions to show him what was coming upon Israel. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, commands Amos not to preach in Israel anymore. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl continues in Amos chapter 7 on Simply the Bible.
We are coming to the end of the book of Amos, and he would conclude his book with five visions that the Lord gave to him. God would show his prophets things in their mind's eye. He would give them mental images that had spiritual significance. Now, it's interesting that according to the prophet Joel, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh in the last days. Sons and daughters will prophesy, old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. We continue today in Amos chapter 7. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was the late crop after the king's mowings. And so it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, O Lord God, forgive, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, says the Lord. Now Amos saw this terrible locust swarm coming to devastate the land of Israel. Locusts were always a dreaded plague because they would devour everything in their path, and the people were powerless to stop it. The locusts would come, in this case, after the first cutting in the spring. This was considered the king's share that he would use for his military animals. The second cutting was later in the summer, and this had to last until the harvest. Therefore, the people would have nothing to eat until the fall because of this devastating locust plague. Now, Amos knew that this would be a terrible hardship, so he cried out to the Lord to forgive them. Jacob was so small, and they couldn't survive it. Therefore, the Lord relented from the plague he was going to bring. He did not say that he would forgive them, for they were not repentant, but he would give them more time. And how often does God do this? He doesn't punish us as our sins deserve. It's not that he's unjust, for all sin will ultimately be dealt with if we receive Jesus Christ and our sins were punished at the cross. But if we reject Christ, then we will bear the penalty of our sins ourselves. Verse 4, thus the Lord God showed me, behold, the Lord God called for conflict by fire, and it consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord God. In this second vision, Amos saw a conflict by fire. Now, fire is often a symbol of God's judgment in the Bible. Some think this fire was symbolic. Others see it as a literal fire consuming the land. We have seen in recent years in California, they have undergone devastating fires, and we see the terrible destruction that they bring against people, against livestock, and against property. This fire would consume not only the land, but also the great deep. That probably refers to the subterranean waters that would be used to put it out. A drought would likely precede the fire, lowering the groundwater, and then what was left would be used to fight the fire. So not only would the fire devour the land, but also the water reserves would be greatly depleted in the arid region where they lived. Amos interceded a second time, saying the same thing he did with the first vision. And once again, the Lord was willing to relent from this disaster. It shows us how quick God is to be merciful, and also how important it is for us to stand in the gap and intercede for those who are the objects of God's judgment. I believe that is something we really need to be doing right now for our nation. Verse 7, thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. Now, my father was a bricklayer, and so I am quite familiar with the plumb line. This was a weight on a string that would be held over a wall to make sure that all the bricks were lined up straight. In this case, the Lord was holding the plumb line over the wall, and he was setting it against his people Israel. How did they measure up to his laws? Not well at all. They had forsaken his covenant and worshipped other gods. And the Lord was unwilling to pass by them anymore, meaning that he would not relent from this judgment. The high places of Isaac would be made desolate. He names the son of Abraham and their patriarch, but this was synonymous with the northern kingdom of Israel. And the sanctuaries in the high places and in Bethel and Dan would be laid waste. God would end their unlawful worship. Moreover, the Lord would raise a sword against the dynasty of Jeroboam II, the king who was reigning over Israel at the time. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Now this Amaziah was not your typical priest. He was not a Levitical priest. He was the priest of Bethel. Bethel was one of the places that the first king of Israel, Jeroboam, had set up a golden calf and built an altar there so that the people wouldn't go back to Jerusalem. And so he was made a priest there, and this was a very significant place of worship. It was also very central to the whole political system of the northern kingdom. And so he took the words of Amos and went to Jeroboam II and said, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of Israel. Now that wasn't really true. Amos wasn't conspiring against Jeroboam II per se. He was just a prophet of God saying what God was going to do. But Amaziah said that the land cannot bear his words. It's interesting that people who are living in sin do not want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the words of God. Even though God brings his words never to harm us, but to give us a hope, a future, to protect us from harm. And yet the people that are living in sin, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. And so he said to Jeroboam II that you will die by the sword and Israel will be led away captive from their own land. Now, he never said that Amos came as a prophet of the Lord. He just said that he's come and he's conspiring against you. And Amaziah did not believe, really, that Amos was a prophet of the Lord, or he simply just didn't want to hear it. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah, there eat bread, and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. So he says, get out of here, go away, we don't want you here. Go away, seer. And it's interesting that he basically tells Amos, leave us alone. We don't want you. And that's interesting because that's the same thing that the demons said to Jesus. Leave us alone. When Jesus cast out the demons from the demoniac. And again, it's just like people that don't want to hear. Just leave us alone. Leave us alone. We don't want to hear it. We just want to be left alone to do whatever we want to do. We don't want you telling us your truth. And so it was the same kind of thing. Now he said, go away, seer. That was a derogatory term. I mean, Amos really was a seer, but Amaziah meant it in a derogatory way. And he said, go prophesy in Judah. There you can eat your bread. In other words, he was accusing Amos of just giving oracles for payment, like somebody might tell somebody's fortunes or something to get paid. Just go back and do your prophesying there, but never again come here to Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, that I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now, I think that when you are called by God, it's very important to know that God called you, and that really is your authority. You know that the Lord called you to do this. In this case, Amos said, look, I'm not like a hireling here where I go out and give fortunes for payment. Quite the contrary, I was quite content to be a farmer, and I was taking care of the sheep, a sheep breeder, and yet the Lord called me as I was doing this and told me to go and prophesy to my people Israel. So don't blame me. This is God that sent me. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in this city. Your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by survey line. You shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. Wow, this is heavy. And really, this judgment was coming against Amaziah because he refused to hear the word of the Lord. And I think there's a great judgment against those who just turn a deaf ear to the words of God, don't want to hear it. Amos said, listen, what's going to happen now is there's going to be a siege. It would be the Assyrians who would come against Israel, and your wife is going to be a prostitute. Your sons and your daughters, they're going to die by the sword, and then you're going to lose your inheritance. You are going to go into another land, a defiled land, where you will no longer be a priest. You will no longer be able to worship like you have been. You certainly won't be able to worship the Lord. And all Israel shall be led away captive from this land. You know, this is just a warning, I think, of how important it is that when we hear the words of God, we don't turn a deaf ear to it. If anything, we should incline our ears to want to hear the word. This is why I think it's just so important that we daily go to God's word and say, Lord, speak to me, search me, help me listen to what you want to say to me, give me an ear to hear what the Spirit would say to me so that I don't fall into a pitfall. I don't come under your judgment, you know, because God really wants to spare us of that if our hearts are willing to receive his words and to do what he says. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you that you are so slow to bring judgment. You are so quick to relent and show mercy to your people, Lord. I pray, God, that we would not harden our hearts, stiffen our necks, but, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what you would speak to us. Lord, thank you that all that you speak to us is for our welfare. And, Lord, we do just pray that you would help us to stand in the gap as did Amos, Lord. When you pronounce judgment against the land, Lord, it's your people that can stand in the gap and intercede and stay your hand from the judgment that you were planning. Lord, I pray you would grant to us mercy. I pray that you would bring revival to our land, that people would listen to your words, humble themselves, and turn from their wicked ways so that you might heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We're happy to announce that we're building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow, we will return to the book of Ecclesiastes. In his quest to search out wisdom and folly, Solomon, the preacher, discovers that all is vanity and there is nothing new under the sun. We hope you'll join us as we continue teaching through God's Word on Simply the Bible.